Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, you speak English, sir? Parlo usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush. Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today on this fine Tuesday. Myself, Andy Pate, and Bruce Simmons with us today, American Liberty Mortgage. We'll talk to Bruce in a moment. Charlie Grimes, of course, our engineer. Hello, gentlemen. How are we today?
Good. Good to see you.
Everybody good?
Yep.
Yeah.
Bruce,
excellent.
Good?
Excellent.
Okay. Good to see you, by the way. Glad you're here. All right, impossible question of the day.
All right.
Yesterday's, which Charlie and we weren't even close. In the last 2 months, 30% of couples have fought because one of them did this.
You know, that's really hard. She makes a lot of mistakes.
Don't we all? Real quick, Charlie and I thought this was because of COVID, but it's not.
Okay.
This would be something probably that would happen at any time. And 30% of couples fought because one of them did this, lost something. You know, blame game usually happens when something gets lost, right?
Yeah, it does.
Where'd you put it? Well, if you had to put it in such and such place, right?
Yeah.
And how that goes.
And only 30%, huh?
Yeah, exactly, Bruce. Thanks. Only 30%.
Honey, where's the car?
Yeah, well, any more? That might be a really good question, as many of them are getting stolen.
Who loses the most, Bruce, in your household? Who loses the most stuff? For me, I got to be honest, it's probably me.
Yeah, probably me too.
I think it's me.
Yeah, I think it's a man thing.
Yeah.
Just, you know, we get busy and distracted and, you know, squirrel ran by and all of a sudden you can't remember where you put something. So, you know.
Exactly.
All right, today's impossible question. Answer this on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. Last year, about 6,000 newborn babies had this in common, and the hint is location. So about 6,000 newborn babies had this in common. What is it?
Well, the location thing throws it off, because I was going to say they had already voted.
Good one. Actually, for Biden, of course.
Yeah, well, yeah. Definitely.
Of course.
Yes. Not just for 2000, but for 2020. Well,
those are called new voters.
2024,
Andy.
They've already voted.
That's
for
right.
Biden.
New voters. New voters. 6,000 newborn babies had this in common. I'm going to say born at home.
That's a very good guess. I was going to say have jaundice, but I don't know that's location.
You know, I would say 6,000 is too low for born home? At home, like born in a car.
Oh, better, Andy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
On the way to. We're like the policeman's delivering or the fireman's delivering the baby.
It's got to be something.
Or the dad is.
Were you guys all born in a hospital?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, nothing exciting there.
I was born in a plane. Then the pilot, he got struck with an illness, and I had to grab the...
You had to land?
It was
wow.
It was very scary. Oh, I was a gifted child.
Amazing.
No, I think
no,
probably...
I think you're right.
I'm going to go with born in a car.
I think you're right.
You know, 6,000.
Yeah, no, I think you're... Yeah, I think you're onto something. There's probably more than 6,000 born at home. I think I'm way low there. Born in a car. Could be born in... No, probably not in an airplane. There's not that many... We don't hear about that many babies born in the airplane.
Not airplane. I was kidding.
Charlie might be able to answer this better than I, but do ladies, as they get farther along in the pregnancy, is it like it unadvisable to fly, or does it matter? Marie says no. Okay, well, so much for that thought. I don't know. I've never been pregnant. Don't plan on it, by the way.
Got three guys in this booth.
Yeah, that's probably not good for this answer. Anyways, answer that on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. Andy may be right.
I've had the pains.
But
I've never been pregnant.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Bruce is with us again, American Liberty Mortgage. And I say this all the time. And Bruce, I think there's a misconception that you have to be hard up and desperate for money to do a reverse mortgage. And that's just not true.
That is correct. That is not true. That is a misconception, though. A lot of people feel that way.
In fact, I think there's a stereotype even around them where if you even tell someone you have one, I think the first thing they think is, oh, well, you must be broke.
That's it, exactly. In fact, a lot of customers that I'd ask when I first started in this business 18 years ago, they didn't want to give me testimonials. Well, are you going to use my name? Because they were almost ashamed of it. Now, that's
changed,
gotten a little better.
Right?
Yes, it has improved over the time. In fact, I've got video testimonials on my website and YouTube channel and stuff. And it's there's a lot of other things. And also, too, the fact that we're using it more as a financial planning tool.
Right.
I've done these loans for people with over $1 million in their retirement accounts, and it's more of a financial planning tool.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, Bruce, could you maybe give your top 5 or 6 circumstances that cause people to want to get a reverse mortgage? Yeah.
That's a great question. The first one I would say, the most common, is they want to get rid of their existing mortgage. It's amazing the number of people that have mortgages on their homes in their 80s and 90s even. They have a 30-year mortgage they just refinanced 2 years ago. So that's number one, is I would say to pay off their existing mortgage.
And in that case, they're bleeding cash flow.
Yeah, they want to. Yes, exactly. And it's used in conjunction with the second one, which is they want to retire. There's people they know they're planning for retirement. I've done a number of loans recently where they've got an existing mortgage and they're planning for retirement. They know they've got 25 years left on their mortgage. They say, how we're not going to be able to continue to live our lifestyle with this $1,200 mortgage payment. So let's pay it off now. We'll continue to work, save money, and then retire in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, but the problem is because of reverse mortgages, Bruce Simmons is the only one who will never be able to retire.
He keeps working.
I know.
Yes, exactly.
It keeps you busy, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It keeps me very busy. I've been so busy lately, and I've been late getting people quotes even sometimes. Because what I do is I've started doing these video recordings of quotes to explain people. I share my screen and show the numbers. So it's not just they're getting something in the email that's paper and they confusing
it
all
to
heck.
Them.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, so I think another place that reverse mortgages could be used, and correct me if I'm wrong, but somebody's got an existing mortgage and maybe they're to the point where they'd like to have a second home, maybe down south, Arizona way, Florida way, someplace along those lines, and maybe they're sitting on anymore, Bruce, it doesn't take much for somebody that's been here for any length of time at all to have a $750,000 property that may have a ton of equity in it. Mm-hmm. They could pull some of that equity out, go buy something else. Could they use a reverse mortgage in that manner as well?
Yes, they can. There's some restrictions on it because the government places the restrictions on the amount of money you could pull in the first 12 months. But I've talked to people about that. I've over the last few months, I've actually had a couple of inquiries about that, and I didn't even tell you. So you're just intuitive.
Well, to me,
that
just
way.
I'm thinking because you know, if you're somebody where you've got a burden here of a mortgage, but you've got a house that maybe for the most part, you know, doesn't have a lot of mortgage left, but there's a ton of equity. Mm-hmm. Yet they want to spend some time where maybe the grandkids are, and maybe they can go buy a house in that particular area relatively inexpensively. Just parts of the country where you can still buy a really nice house for a couple hundred grand, let's
say.
And they could take some of the money out of this, go do that, spend time both places, and not have the burden of worrying about a mortgage payment here.
Exactly. And even there, too.
True.
They have no mortgage payment, or sometimes they'll use it as a down payment. But either way, however it works, the key is that they have to maintain the home that we got the reverse mortgage on, the home here, for example. They have to maintain that as their primary residence. As long as they do that, they could do whatever they want with it. I'll never forget a customer I had in 2008 or 9-10 time frame in Golden. And he owned his home free and clear. We gave him a line of credit, and his goal was to – he knew these condos – I'm going to buy condos for $20,000 or $50,000, fix them up and sell them for $80,000. And then I'm going to turn around and pay that money back on the reverse mortgage and use it again.
Just keep going.
Yeah, exactly.
That cycle.
That's it.
Good for him.
And I don't know if he did it because I didn't stay in touch with him, but I'm thinking that's a great idea.
It's a great idea. No, it really is. So for a lot of you that are thinking of retirement or maybe are in retirement and you're literally, I'm speaking literally right now, sitting on a pile of equity. There are folks listening to me right now that have a house worth, you know, $500,000-$700,000 that may have a $150,000-$200,000 mortgage on it, maybe not even that much, and all that equity sitting there. The other thing I think, Bruce, that a reverse mortgage really comes in handy is for those that don't want to move. In other words, They've got expensive. They've got other things going on. They're looking to the future. They love where they live now, but they know, wait a minute, if we keep going on this trajectory we're currently on, it will be hard to stay there unless we dip into that equity that the house has in it right now.
Exactly. And people are using it to pay taxes, their equity to pay taxes. I mean, hopefully we're not going to get to this point, but when I worked for the evil empire, I could do loans all over the country, and I'd do loans in New York. These people's taxes out there, this was 10 years ago, were $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 a year.
And, I hope we don't
and
get
that's
that
on
here.
A that was on a $400,000 home. And unfortunately, Colorado, it just drives me crazy to say this, but
we're working our way there.
We're deep blue, unfortunately.
All right, how do folks get a hold of you, Bruce?
Call me directly at 303-467-7821 or visit me online at reversemortgageradio.net. Okay. ReverseMortgageRadio.net.
Always a joy having you, sir.
Yeah,
I
great.
Appreciate it. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're always welcome anytime. You can just come hang out, whatever.
I mean, I'd love it.
We
yeah.
don't have to talk reverse mortgages. Just come hang out anytime you want to. So, folks, give Bruce a call. He'll get you straightened out and get rid of some of these myths that we talked about earlier. Extreme Auto Repair is up next, folks, and you want to take care of your vehicle, much like your house, the maintenance on it, which talked to Bruce about a moment ago. Your car is no different. Keep the value up, maintain it, make it last longer, and save money overall. Go to KLZRadio.com or 303-841-1071.
The most frustrating part of getting your vehicle repaired is not knowing what they're charging you for. The team at Extreme Auto Repair has nothing to hide. Sean, Mike, Dave, and the whole team at Extreme Auto Repair and Parker want you to understand what's going on with your vehicle so you know how to prioritize your spending. They'll always be transparent because you're the one spending money. You need to know what's wrong so you can focus on the most important repairs first. Just ask, and they'll be more than happy to take you back to the service bay, open up the hood to show you what's going on, or hand you the part that's not functioning. Their philosophy is, why hide it? You might not know what to look for on your own, and the bill makes a lot more sense when you can actually see the part. Plus, you'll feel better knowing that they're not charging you for services you don't need. Take a look together. Schedule a repair now at klzradio.com/extreme. Promise is kept.
Bruce Simmons makes a potentially complicated loan program easy to understand. Reverse mortgages make a lot more sense when you see how the numbers apply to you. KLZ's Bruce Simmons explains the most confusing aspects of a reverse mortgage in simple language so that you not only understand the loan yourself, but you can also explain the basics to other interested parties. Most likely, you want to involve your financial planner and maybe some of your family members in the decision-making process. For every client, Bruce Simmons creates a personalized video that you can share with your kids, parents, financial advisor, or the skeptical neighbor who still thinks the bank will take your house. He'll show you how a reverse mortgage could enable you to tap into a portion of the value of your home, providing a source of guaranteed tax-free income for as long as you live in the house. Find Bruce Simmons of American Liberty Mortgage now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy, and Bruce Simmons joining us. Bruce is going to hang around here about 3:30 or so. Our next guest, and is it Annalisa or is it Annalise Peshek? Am I saying that right?
Hi, John. Yes, it's Annalisa.
Annalisa. Okay, perfect. And you're with The New American. I appreciate you joining us. We've had several of you folks come on with us. It's always a great time. But you're new to us, so I appreciate you joining us today. Let's talk about the Second Amendment, shall we?
Absolutely.
Which, by the way, is really in the news after what Joe Biden did yesterday, I think even again today. So it's really heavily back in the news again.
It is. We've heard, I think, today from the Texas Attorney General, Ken Paxton, who said that just try it. Just try and come for our guns. It's not going to happen under my watch. So Texas joins the one county in Missouri so far that's standing up to the overreach that the federal government seems to be wanting to impose more and more. It's not just about guns either.
No. It is not.
Annalisa, what kind of steps can a state take to protect itself against government overreach with the Second Amendment? I mean, government, the feds coming in to take our guns.
Well, what we're seeing right now, and this is happening across the country in several states and counties, is what they're calling these amendment sanctuaries. I don't know if you're familiar with the term, but basically states are deciding that we are going to pass certain rules and regulations that protect our protected rights, because, as you know, our Second Amendment right does not come from the government.
Right.
Second Amendment secures our God-given right to keep and bear arms. So what states are, since 2019, is we've seen a growth of these, what they're calling amendment sanctuaries. And again, it's not just about gun rights. It's about free speech rights. It's about, you know, preserving the right to open your business, go to church, just protections, I guess, extra protections of our constitutional protected rights. So different states are handling it differently, but basically legislatures are coming together and drafting bills, and some are passing, for example, the Newton County, Missouri Commission passed the Second Amendment Preservation Act that, interestingly enough, was passed in 2013, but it was vetoed by the then governor, Jay Nixon, who was a Democrat. So now it's passed, and it basically gives the state the right to not, basically it says that law enforcement cannot enforce the enforcement of federal taxes or fees imposed on firearms, or any kind of registering or tracking of firearms, registering or tracking of the owners of firearms or accessories, ammunition. And if they do, they will be fined. They will be, even if federal agencies are found to be infringing upon these protected rights, they will be actually arrested. Okay. So the Newton County, Missouri Second Amendment Preservation Act is probably the most strongest worded.
I see that. No, it's really got some strong wording, even in regards to the confiscation of firearms. They've got that in there as well. So, no, they've got their bases covered very well. They've done a good job. Bruce, you had a question?
But, well, what do we do when we're in a state like Colorado that is not favorable towards counties doing things like that?
Yeah, we're a blue state.
Yeah, we are. We're a deep blue state, yes. Unfortunately. Yes. What can a county or city do?
Right. Well, you know, as citizens, I've been going back to this word resistance, and I put it in my piece that maybe you read to bring me on air, but resistance is something that I think citizens really need to start taking very seriously. And I maybe I'm saying civil disobedience is okay in this regard. Like, we have to start standing up and resisting. And part of what states need to be doing is listening to their constituents. And but the constituents need to be writing to their legislature. So I'm out in Washington State. I completely understand the kind of helplessness you might feel in a deep blue state where you feel like your voice is just, it's moot, it doesn't matter. But we still shouldn't stop us from writing to our state legislatures and our lawmakers and voicing our concerns. Or there are certain groups. I've done a little bit of research into resources for, I think, you know, all Americans, but one good resource is the Warrior Poet Society. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that.
No, I'm not. I'm writing it down as we speak.
Yeah. They have a YouTube channel. They also have a, it's called a Watch WPSN Network.
Okay.
And it got a lot of information regarding, you know, legal information and tactical training and stuff related to firearms and the Second Amendment. And then there's the Firearms Policy Coalition, which is another resource, and that's a legal resource. His name is Adam Kraut, who's a lawyer I recently learned of, who deals in kind of Second Amendment legal issues. So if you can get through to your state representatives, I mean, it never hurts to write, it never hurts to call.
Right.
But there are other resources out there that might be able to give you another direction to pursue.
Hey, Annalisa, you're talking about legal recourse. I know we're at a tremendous disadvantage because we have a President Biden. However, might we be at an advantage because President Trump placed so many judges?
Well, we hope so. I mean, we do hope that that's kind of a safety net, but as you saw with some of what happened with the election, it all depends on the judge,
right?
And what they decide to do that day and the pressures that they maybe cave to or they feel like.
And one other thing I want to add to that too, Annalisa, is everything you guys are saying, I believe it's correct. I get it. But, you know, the average Joe out there that's listening that really has no means, you know, he's just trying to irk out, raise his kids, pay his mortgage, do the things that he does. And, you know, unless there's a lot of these, you know, attorneys, which I know a lot of them will do pro bono work. But, you know, a lot of the people listening are like, I can't afford to hire an attorney to, you know, handle, you know, my grievances against, you know, anyone, you know, any organization when it comes to the Second Amendment, especially a state, you know, a sheriff's estate. Feds, you know, I think banding together is an answer, but individually, I could see where a lot of folks would get intimidated and would have a hard time with that.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And I think that's the challenge. The number one challenge facing Americans today is that we're feeling beaten down and we're feeling like we're not able to speak up, even say we own a gun. Or even say that we are upset that we can't go to church.
Right.
It's kind of this shaming culture at this time. And so I don't have a simple answer, but the encouragement that, you know, I find a lot of encouragement in my church. My pastor this weekend was speaking on resistance, and you know, he reminded me of this great quote that Jonathan Mayhew said. He was an early preacher in Boston. He said, you know, resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. And that later became the motto of the revolution. And I guess, you know, we just have to, I'm not trying to simplify things and say that we all just have to start, you know, rising up and magically it all changes. But there is that reminder of what the Constitution provides and what we as human beings have inherited from our Creator that give us the right to, you know, speak and speak our minds and use our have the right to own a gun if we want to own a gun. Not everybody wants to own a gun.
Well, Annalisa, it sounds to me like there's kind of a two-step thing that we can do. Number one, if you're in a small town or a small county, a rural county that supports the Second Amendment, put in rules like they just did in Missouri.
Yes.
So all of you do that. And if you're people like me and John and you're locked away in these blue states and liberal cities and so forth, you can donate money to these organizations that will legally help all those small towns.
Great point, Andy.
And then we'll have a ton of small towns across the fruited plain standing up for us.
Great idea.
What do you think?
Great idea.
That sounds like a great idea. I agree 100%. I wish I would have said it.
No, it's a great idea. Annalisa, I appreciate it very much. How do folks find that piece? Where do they go?
They can find the piece at the New American website, and that's New American, or thenewamerican.com. It's called Missouri Resistance, and again, this is an act that was originally passed in 2013 and was vetoed, but is now passed again, and it looks like the governor this time is going to sign it.
Awesome.
So, good for Missouri.
That's right. Awesome. Annalisa, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it very much.
You're welcome.
You bet. Have a great afternoon. Guys, that's especially after today and what has come out when it comes to, you know, what Jen Psaki even said today about gun control being a priority now for the Biden administration. He's not afraid of standing up to the NRA. You know, he's basically saying we will not wait for the next mass shooting to push for gun control, which we all know there's not a gun law out there that will affect any of that anyways. This is all about control, not saving lives.
I thought it was about unity.
Yeah, this is a great way to unify the country.
Exactly.
And Bruce, you just brought up a great point. Real, I mean that seriously. If you're going to be president now and you're going to try to unify the country and yet you're going after every red-blooded American that loves guns, which, by the way, there's a lot of them out there on both sides of the aisle, mm-hmm. right and left, and you're now, if anything, you're going to unify a gazillion people in America to go against you and your administration by bringing these things out, not the opposite.
Never before in history have the first words to Unity been, I am going to disarm you.
Right.
I'm going to disarm you. I don't care if it was done in Germany or, you know, China or any other place or here. Leading with, I'm going to disarm you is not a great way to get to unity.
Have you, either one of you guys, Bruce or Andy, ever known in the history of the world where disarming a people worked out well for the people?
No.
I mean, it worked out well for the guys in charge, but did it really work out well for the people?
No.
Never.
Never, right?
Yeah, forget about arms. What about any time that you allow bullying on a campus? Little kids at a school. You tell the little kids they can't stand up for themselves or they got to wait until a teacher shows up. They're going to get pounded.
Right. Mm-hmm. We're not doing anyone any kind of justice by allowing this nonsense to go on. And folks, I'm here to tell you, and a lot of you on the left may not agree with me, but I tell you what, I am right. You go down this path, you on the left, go down this path. I'm just telling you right now, fair warning, this is not a path you want to go down. Not in the United States of America, where there's probably well over 300 million guns in circulation. In fact, I don't think they even know what the real number is because there's no way to even tell. So, folks, let me tell you what. Those of you on the left, this is not a battle you want to fight.
90-plus million people probably own a gun.
If not more, Bruce.
Yeah.
Point.
And by the way, those are adults.
That's right.
You know, we got 330 million people in the country, a certain amount of those being teenagers and kids and infants. So to Bruce's point, by and large, there are a lot of gun owners in America.
And by the way, they're the law-abiding ones. They are the ones who actually bring peace to you. Real quick stat, 0.3% of gun crimes are committed by concealed carry owners.
0.3%.
Yeah, legal concealed carry owners.
In other words,
virtually none.
Yeah, and I would venture to guess if you even dig into those stats and you go and look at the actual cases that you just mentioned, there's probably two sides to those stories as well.
Right.
And, you know, there are particular situations where you may be very well defending yourself, use your gun as a concealed weapon, you know, permit holder, and still at the end of the day be charged with something if you didn't handle everything just so perfect. That's my point.
What if there had been two people with concealed carry sitting in the front row at that theater in Aurora?
Exactly. It would have a different outcome.
I've thought of that 100 times.
It would have a totally different outcome,
Andy.
Mm-hmm. Major outcome. And by the way, Andy just said something that has happened across the country numerous times where those things have happened. That, exactly what Andy just said, thwarted some would-be killer, but you don't see that stuff in the press because they don't want you to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want you to know that a good guy with a gun showed up and stopped the bad guy with a gun. Folks, there is no way that the Biden administration or anyone else on this planet will ever change human behavior. And human behavior is the problem with mass shootings, not the gun itself. This is a human behavior issue, not a gun issue.
No. If you take away the guns, everybody becomes sinless.
Yeah, sure they do.
And we all race to each other to embrace in meadows.
I guess that's why Cain killed Abel, because there was a rock law.
No, there was no rock law. There was no law against rock.
Andy.
You know,
I get it. If there had only been,
you know,
a anti-rock law.
You know what happens when rocks are outlawed?
Everybody, only outlaws have rocks.
Exactly. That's what happened then, John.
You know,
you right wingers allowed Cain to kill Abel.
To your point, though, in all seriousness, when you outlaw something, only the outlaws have it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That is a very true statement.
Well, because a law, by its very nature, is followed by law-abiding citizens. Law breakers follow it.
Aren't mass shooters already breaking the law?
Yeah.
Like many times over?
Yes.
There are already laws against cars being stolen. Does that mean no cars are stolen?
No.
There are laws against a lot of things.
There's laws against shoplifting, but it happens daily across this country.
Exactly.
But, I can go down the line.
But you're passing a law here that this is the only law I know of that literally makes defenseless all of those who don't want to be violated.
Folks, because of everything we just said, let me tell you what. I'll just open up a little secret here when it comes to what the left really wants. This, again, is not just like COVID.
Mm-hmm.
This is not about your health. This is not about your safety. This is not about preventing another mass shooting in this country. This is about population control only. How do we control the populace? That's all this is about. Gun control is people control, and don't ever forget that.
Amen.
Okay, that's Bruce, you're going to hang around? You're
I do need to get going.
You're a good man.
I'm so glad to be part of this show.
I appreciate you hanging out.
I need to come by
more
often.
You're welcome anytime. Literally, anytime you're here, just hang out. We'd love to have you. You've always got great comments, so we appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Franktown Firearms, speaking of guns, is next. And folks, if you want to exercise your Second Amendment right, and I say it all the time, go see the guys at Franktown. They'd love to help you out. Find them at klzradio.com or 720-770-7777.
Before you actually start carrying a firearm, you need to develop the mindset of safety. Whether you consider yourself an experienced shooter or if you've never shot a gun, head trainer Karen Murray recommends signing up for the basic concealed carry class at Franktown Firearms first, because everyone has bad habits to break. You need to start with the basics, but you also can't walk out of a CCW class with a gun strapped to your hip thinking you're Jack Bauer. Once you've registered for your concealed carry permit, come back to Franktown Firearms for Karen's tactical pistol course to put your skills into practice. Karen will teach you the 6 steps to proper holster draw, giving you the chance to practice situational awareness in a safe environment. Karen loves watching her students leave her tactical pistol course at Franktown Firearms wearing their guns in their holsters for the first time. Register for a class now at klzradio.com/Franktown. Confidence through practice.
Golden Eagle Financial, and by the way, we do appreciate Bruce joining us a moment ago. We were just commenting through the break. What a great guy he really is.
Oh, yeah.
And I sincerely mean that. I know he's left, you know, the room now, but he's just a fabulous guy. Somebody else that is as well, in fact, these guys work together, is Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith, because he and Bruce work together because of some of the financial planning aspects that Bruce was just talking about.
That's there's a lot of overlap, and how great is it to have two like-minded people guiding you in that way?
That's exactly right. Find Al today at klzradio.com or call 303-744-1128.
Saving for retirement is not the same thing as having a retirement plan. Al Smith, founder of Golden Eagle Financial, helps people near and in retirement who have already saved up the money they need, but who haven't really thought about what comes next. You wouldn't hop in the car for a 2-week vacation with no destination in mind. You wouldn't hire a new employee without a job description. You shouldn't retire without a clear idea about how you're going to collect the money you've been diligently saving all your adult life. As soon as you retire, your focus shifts from saving money to making money last. Your risk tolerance changes. You need a financial advisor who specializes in wealth preservation, not wealth accumulation. Set up a free consultation with Golden Eagle Financial at klzradio.com/money, and Al Smith will help you create a plan. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Before you can run your business more efficiently, you must learn to manage your own time. As the business owner, you cannot allow yourself to get bogged down by menial tasks. Your time is too valuable. You need to stay focused on the big picture. Otherwise, you'll be exhausted and frustrated. You won't have time for your family, and your company won't grow. John Rush will show you how to delegate for the sake of your sanity and your bottom line. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Susan at Premier Manufacturing says, "In the 2+ years I have been with Premier Manufacturing, my interaction with BES has been nothing but positive. When we have a service issue, they do their best to have someone sent out that same day, and the service people have always been friendly, efficient, and professional." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or have a problem with equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. I do appreciate it very much. Myself, Andy, and Charlie, and again, Bruce Simmons, who joined us that first hour. I really appreciate Bruce. He's just a great guy, and I hope that you can tell that by him sitting in with us. And if you're somebody looking for a reverse mortgage, really, he literally is the guy to talk to. Don't listen to all the myths and things that are out there. Just talk to Bruce, and he'll get you handled.
Oh, yeah.
Great guy. All right, let's talk about Texas for a minute.
Let's talk about Texas.
What a screwed up mess.
Why would a state like Texas ever listen to the wind farm people?
I have no idea.
I mean, that's insane.
I really don't know.
You know, the thing that really blows my mind, John, is this. You don't want anything in your life that's important to you to be dependent on things that are risky.
Nope.
Are you with me there?
Yep.
So important to you, you don't want it to be dependent on risky things. Okay. I would say our energy is important. I mean, you cut it off, suddenly I don't have aircon, I don't have heat, I don't have, you know, all kinds of things.
And Andy, it's one of those things that, you know, I guess if you get deep in the bush of a third world country, maybe electricity isn't that big of a deal. But for the remaining, you know, whatever it is, 7 billion people on the planet.
It is.
It is.
Well, and also plentiful energy has done more to advance the lifestyles of the poor
around the world
than anything. You know, people talk about, well, I donate food to this or that country and so forth. Great thing to do. Wonderful. Oil and gas has done more to lift more people out of poverty than anything on the planet. By far, it's not close. And by the way, with what they're going through down in Texas, you don't want your, like I was saying, you don't want your energy at risk. You don't want your energy dependent on things that are above ground. You see, the weather is above ground, John.
Right.
Below ground, there's no weather. There's just oil and gas. Okay, and so you pull it out and it's safe. Above ground, you have weather. And every time the weather is bad, it gets shut down.
Yeah, there's a lot of reports today coming out, and I don't know who to believe, who not to believe, that, you know, part of the issue is, yes, they were dependent upon, you know, windmills and things, you know, things of that nature. Supposedly, though, some of this power grid issue comes from some of the controls, you know, icing up, freezing up, and they're talking about even some of the coal plants, nuclear plants, and so on. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, I find that to be a lot of BS.
John, what's going to ice up more?
Great question.
A coal plant, the internals of a coal plant, or an exposed turbine?
Again, common sense kind of tells you that. Come on, folks.
Cut the spin.
I might have been born at night, but it wasn't last night. Don't feed me a line of BS, because really that's all that is.
That is. Cut the spin.
That's total BS.
You know, I think the most effective wind turbines would be if you could put a coal-driven fan, a coal-fired fan, to blow wind into it all the time. And then the wind turbine would be reliable. Look, you don't want anything that is reliant on the weather to be right. You either need sun or you need wind, and you need just the right amount. If you have too much wind, by the way, it'll you know, fray and fracture them, right? And by the way, the wind turbines, you know how long they last? About 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are expensive. So
yeah, they were 3 to 4 million a piece, roughly.
Yeah. Okay, 3 to 4 million a piece, and you know they were saying the other day that the fastest growing jobs are technicians for servicing wind turbines. Yeah, I'll bet they are.
Yeah, they require about $50,000 worth of maintenance each one each year. And we did, you know, we had a caller call in yesterday and we talked about it, and I did some research. And yes, once they're up and running, as they run and generate power, it's actually it's the cheapest power we actually have when it's working. But that's the caveat. When it's working.
Oh, but John, no. Yeah, but you got to first factor in the amount of money it takes to make it.
I did. If
you the reliability I did. The, of the, it. Well, I did. No, I'm not
the
done.
The kilowatt hours, or you know, the kilowatts that it produces, as a you know, if you look at, I did all this last night. I looked it all up just to make sure that I was going to be correct. It's about 5 cents out of a windmill. Coal, natural gas is anywhere from 8 to 12 cents. So it is relatively inexpensive in that regard, but it's not always available. That's the key, and that's the issue we have.
Oh, but it's much worse than that. Look, the amount of energy that thing is going to put out, if you have a oil or gas well,
mm-hmm.
okay, and if you have a wind turbine, they cost about, believe it or not, they cost about the same to make. Okay, they're pretty close.
Yeah, I didn't check on the gas one last night. I should have done that.
The oil and gas well is going to put out about 10 times the energy. Okay. So I'm not quite sure where you're getting the 5 cents per.
I looked it up.
Maybe it's cheap to put it out, but it's not putting out much. Let's put it that way. It's putting out very little.
Well, one windmill puts out enough to generate power to 1,500 homes for a year if it's running.
That's nothing. 1,500 homes.
I know that. That's what I said.
My gosh, 15. I see several times that looking out our window right now.
Oh, I did the figures yesterday just to do
it's
the
worthless.
Just to do the rooftops in Denver, not counting all the businesses, just in Denver proper, rooftops only, you'd need 250 of those, not counting the businesses and everything else that have to run. That's just rooftops only.
Do you realize how much land that takes?
A ton. Well, far too much.
Yeah. And by the way, once again, they fall apart after 20 years.
Yeah, they don't last forever.
And then where are you going to put them?
Well, that's a problem we talked about yesterday. You don't, because they're not recyclable.
Look, it's bad energy. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. There's a reason that the only reason it stays afloat is because of massive subsidies. It's right. Not cost efficient.
Joe, you're up, sir.
Well, John, first of all, you need to stop disparaging the average Joe. I take offense at that.
Ah, sorry.
Mediocre Joe?
What do we have? Mediocre Joe? What is it?
No, you always keep talking about the average Joe, and all of us, all the Joes out here I know asked me to call. Hey, a couple of things on wind turbines, but your figures about how many homes they can power, that's an optimal outcome.
That's right. Everything is perfect. The wind's blowing just right.
And always.
They're running, and they're running and doing what they need to. That's correct. And like I said yesterday, Joe, and of course we talked about this some yesterday as well, that never happens. That's a problem with wind and solar. There's too many other variables.
Yeah, maybe they're going to run at optimal output maybe about 7% of the time. You don't have at least a 7-mile-an-hour wind, forget it. Those things are not turning.
And they can't turn if it's above 30.
Can't turn if it's, right. I think it's 35 or 40, but yeah. So there's this very narrow window.
That's right.
And only a small part of that window are you going to get the rated output of that.
Right.
Number two, as we have learned, most of us have known, every bit of wind and solar requires 100% backup, either nuclear or fossil fuel. Now, all the politicians want to go electric cars. Some cities like San Francisco have said no more gas heat. If you built a new house, it has to be all electric.
Stupid.
So the politicians are adding to
which
the
makes
grid.
It, yeah, which, that just compounds the problem that we've got. You're exactly right.
Right. So let's say you put 10 million new electric cars on the road, which is going to add substantial demand to the grid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, you can incrementally, on an optimal day, meet that with wind and solar. But when it's not an optimal day, or you have a snowstorm and it's dark and it's snowing at night, you're going to have to build more. Since this country won't allow nuclear to be built, you're going to have to build more fossil fuel plants, preferably natural gas. And by the way, all the people say, what about hydro? All the hydro has been fully exploited.
We'd have to build more dams and do more to make that happen, which I talked about yesterday, Joe. And that's one of the shortcomings that I think we've had as a country some, 50, 60 years ago. We should have been working on desalinization on both coasts. We should have been supplementing their water use through that. We should have dammed up more of the rivers that we have, produced more hydropower in doing so. And if we'd have done that, we'd be in great shape today. But nobody had any foresight to do what I just said.
Dam up more rivers. You fish killer.
Yes, I am. No, actually, I'm a fish lover because it actually helps.
Yeah, it does.
But actually, there's not a whole lot of hydro left to exploit. All the major hydro in this country has already been exploited. There's some, but I'm going to say if you look at the hydro potential in this country, we've probably already exploited 85% of it. So there's not a whole lot of hydro left to take advantage of.
Hey, Joe, really quick. I'm sorry because I don't want to lose you before we get going here. How much of a day, what percentage of a day, you said 7% earlier, I don't know if you meant this, do we have the optimal conditions for wind energy?
About 7% of the total, there's like 8,600 hours in a year, about 7% of those
are optimal.
7% of those hours are you going to get the optimal rated, full rated output.
Okay. Meanwhile, that natural gas well is putting out energy nonstop 24/7. So is the oil well. And we just looked at, it was only 5, 6, 7 cents, when it's optimal for the energy to get that kilowatt of energy with wind. Okay. Now multiply that times, how many times is 7 times 14 to go into 100, right?
Mm-hmm.
So multiply that by 14 to get to 100%. There's your real cost.
Right. Yeah. So that's where, John, you went a little bit wrong there. It's what was your number?
It's about 5 cents.
Yeah. That's at
peak operating, everything you just said. Yes.
Right. But on a blended basis, you're probably triple. When you look at the capitalization cost divided by 20 years plus the maintenance cost, and I'm very, very familiar with what those things cost to maintain. If you amortize that cost over the average output, but there's a saying, people like to talk about averages. I always say, the average American has one breast and one testicle, but I don't want to be in the clothing business selling clothes to the average American. Well, the average, if you look at the average cost of a kilowatt hour of energy coming out of a wind turbine, it is not it's not 6 cents. Because you're only at optimal.
Yeah, and percentage. The problem, Joe, is, and this is what I see, and it'd be nice if somebody, you or somebody, would actually look at all of those numbers and assemble that, because honestly, Joe, if any American out there goes and tries to figure out what that number is, it doesn't exist. That's the problem we have. And so my point is this. You've got the entire, you know, country, if you would, in this case, including the news media, looking at the factors that NREL and others put out, which I don't think those facts are 100% accurate, but yet, because nobody's really done the total math of what you just said, we don't have that real number, unfortunately.
Well, it's selective. It's lies by omission. You know, they
that's right.
They say, you know,
that's right.
You know, it's not 100%. Say, yeah, you know, a wind turbine can produce, you know, power for, you know, 4 cents or 5 cents a kilowatt hour. Yeah, for 7% of its operating life. But then divide that, but take the total annual cost over the total. Total annual output, and you're not.
Yeah, and then you got to add your 50, 60K or whatever it is, 40 to 60K of maintenance for each back in, and all that has to be factored in as well.
And by the way, guys, if it's functioning 7% of the time and it still wears out in 20 years, how fast would it wear out if it was functioning 100%
Five.
Of the time, like a natural gas well?
Five or less.
Yeah. Way less.
Correction. It operates more than 7% of the time. It only operates at optimal
right.
capacity 7%.
Okay, yeah.
So,
but there's a lot of times, Joe, we all know, and we've all seen it, where you drive by a wind farm and there's literally nothing happening because the wind's not blowing.
Right, and you know, I used to fly my plane back and forth to Chicago on a regular basis, you know, over Kansas, Nebraska, and I can't think of a single day. And I would pass over dozens and dozens of wind farms.
Right.
I can't think of a single day when I ever saw 100% of those turbines spinning, ever.
Right. Me neither. I've driven by many of those many, many times for all these years. And, you know, from the very first one they put out there in California to the other ones that they've now installed across the country. And, Joe, I've never been past one yet where every turbine was spinning.
And as you know, I drove a few months ago, I drove from Colorado
right.
to New Jersey, you know, past massive wind farms. And many of them, not a single wind turbine was spinning, and others two or three out of 20. So, Andy, on average, these things are going to spin about 50% of the time, but they're not spinning at anywhere near
optimal
generating
capacity. Right.
Optimal, right.
Well,
so the 7%
great point.
Number of hours. Right.
Last question for you. I'll go to you, John, and you then you, Joe. John Kerry bragged. He was actually bragging that the fastest growing job creation is in guys who, technicians who take care of these things. Is that really something to brag about?
No.
Is he kidding?
Yeah, no.
So that's like the upside.
That's not, to me, that's not an upside. In fact, Joe, to me, it just contributes to the problem we've got now going on in Texas.
Joe?
Well, you're saying that these things need a lot of maintenance?
Yes.
Yeah, and we're bragging about it, basically.
That's what he's bragging about. That's where all the jobs are going to be, is maintaining these tax funded things.
Tax subsidized.
Yeah, heavily subsidized.
Well, one thing, Joe, I would love you to do, if you get some time. I mean, I'll do the same thing. And I read some things years ago. I'm having a hard time digging up. I should have saved, you know, these articles from years ago. But to my knowledge, some of the not only electric companies, but even some of the oil companies are heavily invested in wind and solar. And to this day, I still, other than the government incentives, I don't understand why either one of them would want to do either.
You know, I don't, other than for possibly for the incentives. And by the way, I believe it or not, I'm so heavily involved in wind that I actually get a monthly magazine called Wind and Solar. So, or no, actually, it's called Wind Power.
Wind Power, okay.
Wind Power is the name of the
magazine. And, you know, and everybody listening, Joe, you as well, you know this. I mean, I love technology. I love new things. I do think at some point in time we'll find some things that will actually help us in a lot of these areas. My problem is when we're pushing them along faster than they're readily available to really work and help us function, and then we have Texas relying on it so heavily that their grid can't function when they're all froze up. That's when I have a problem with new technology, is when it's force-fed and it's not being done in a capitalistic fashion.
Yeah, and we're getting ahead of ourselves again. Politicians are pushing these changes in how we live our lives that are going to put a tremendous incremental increased demand on our grid. And even if you could meet that incremental demand on an interim basis with wind and solar. What happens when the sun doesn't shine, the wind isn't blowing? What's going to handle that increased demand? I'm going to make a prediction. As you know, I think I sent you the article 6 months ago that California had a big nuclear plant down in San Diego that was supposed to be decommissioned.
And it didn't. They got another, five-year stay or something on it, I want to say.
Yeah. And then they had all the rolling blackouts this summer.
That thing will keep running indefinitely.
Yeah, I'll bet my house that that nuclear power plant in San Diego never gets decommissioned.
Yep.
Anybody want to take my bet?
No, I think I'm on your side. I fully agree with you. Real quick, I want to add this in too, Joe, so you've got some fodder as you go down the road with even some of the folks that you you know are around. So all these states, Colorado being one of them, that are pushing for electric vehicles, I've done the math on my own vehicle that I drive on a routine basis. So my Chevy Bolt, which for everybody listening, uses about three-quarters of the kilowatt hours the average family house uses across the country. So when you start putting electric vehicles and more of them on the road, you're basically using about two-thirds to 75% of what an average family household would use in just that one vehicle.
Right. So every car is equal to three-quarters of a new house. So four cars is equal to the electric demand of three new homes.
All right, we got somebody real quick, Joe, that wants to ask you a question. Brad, make it quick. I got to take a break in about a minute, so go ahead.
Okay, I want to know if you can't take those used windmill blades, cut them down into fence boards. Thank you.
Ah, good one. Joe, what do you think?
They can be used to construct the wall.
Yeah, there you go. Good one,
yeah,
guys.
Make the wall. Yeah, fiber. Yeah, they're basically fiber.
Basically fiberglass, basically.
Yeah, fiber. Yeah, big fiberglass blades.
Yeah. All right, Joe, I'll let you go. Appreciate it very much. Dell, hang tight. We'll come right back to you. Michael Bailey Law, Mobile Estate Planning, is coming up next. And make sure that he's a part of your future, because without him, you could leave things in a mess to those that you leave behind. Call Michael today, 720-394-6887, or find him at klzradio.com.
Michael Bailey removes your fear of the unknown by helping you plan ahead for unexpected scenarios. Most people have already given up their resolutions by now, but not Michael Bailey. He lives by the adage, those who prepare shall not fear. KLZ's mobile estate planner recently got a frantic phone call from a family whose mother had been given only 2 to 4 weeks to live. Their father had begun to lose some of his mental acuity, and they needed help now. They held a Zoom meeting with Michael Bailey on a Friday. He drew up their parents' estate plan on Saturday, and by Monday, their mother had been moved into hospice care. Without Michael's last-minute help, this family would have spent months, if not years, battling in probate court because their mother's assets would have gone to the wrong people. You don't know what the future holds, but you can prepare for uncertainty. Set up a free consultation with KLZ's mobile estate planner now at klzradio.com/estate.
All right, Pure for Chevrolet, if you want to buy a newer used car or truck, which right now run on gasoline or diesel, you can do that at Pure for Chevrolet. Shop online, purefortchevrolet.com, or 303-659-8311.
You know, when I go into Purefoy Chevrolet, they don't give you that feel like they're there to take your money or they only care about the sale. They really, truly seem to care about me, and that means a lot to me. I've had the privilege of going into Purefoy Chevrolet to see Rolly's office. And when you see Rolly Purefoy and his family, and especially his father, because his dad was so involved in this business, you really get a sense of what it means for it to be a family. Then when you see customers come in, you also realize that they treat their customers the same way they would their family members. It was very clear that the customers come back again and again and again. There's kind of this real family feel of they want you to come in, be so pleased that you'll continue to come in and have a pleasant experience and people that treat you like family, and you can't get better than that. So that really has stuck with me, and I think that's really something unique about Purefoy Chevrolet that means you should go there.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
All right, after you buy that new car or truck, or if you want to get your house insured, call American National Insurance, Paul Leuenberger. He is my agent, and he would love to help you. It's a simple phone call, 303-662-0789. Again, Paul Leuenberger, my agent, 303-662-0789.
Your home insurance should include the stuff inside your house, too. The personal insurance agent of John Rush, Paul Leuenberger, with American National Insurance, remains one of very few agents who will sit down with you and ask specific, detailed questions, making sure that in a disaster, you will be made financially whole. After a fire, you won't only need a new place to live, you'll also need to replace your gun collection and your jewelry. In those situations, you don't want to work with an agent you found online. You want to talk to someone who knows you, someone who will take the initiative to call and see how you're doing. Even in less disastrous situations, such as accidentally dropping your wedding ring down the sink, the proper coverage with Paul will make you financially whole. Paul Leuenberger can't relieve the emotional loss of a family heirloom, but he will make sure that you can replace your possessions at their full financial value. Call 303-662-0789 for the coverage you expect.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Dell, you're on with myself and Andy.
Hi, Don. How you doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
Trying to stay warm. They holler about, you know, these people got laid off because of the coal being shut down and everything else, and they can find jobs in the industry for electricity and all that. And you haven't seen anything in the news, but I've got a niece that her husband worked for that company out in either Barton or Lafayette or Fort Lupton that makes them blades.
Yes, sir. Hurry, Dell. I got to run. We got they 5 seconds.
Yeah, they laid off 400 people last
Not
year.
Good. Not good. Dell, thanks again. I appreciate that call and a good reminder. We'll be back. Hour number two is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.